The beginning of Mark's Gospel, chapter 1. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, page 1191. We'll read from verse 9. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John at the Jordan. And straightway going up from the water, he saw the heavens parting asunder and the Spirit as a dove descending upon him. And there came a voice out of the heavens, "Thou art my beloved Son, and thee I have found my delight." Then chapter 14 of the same Gospel, Mark chapter 14. Mark's Gospel, chapter 14, page 1213. Now the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread was after 2 days, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might seize him by subtlety and kill him. For they said, "Not in the feast, lest perhaps there be a tumult of the people." And when he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he lay at table, there came a woman having an alabaster flask of ointment of pure nard, very costly. And having broken the alabaster flask, she poured it out upon his head. And there were some indignant in themselves, saying, "Why has this waste been made of the ointment? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they spoke very angrily at her, but Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has wrought a good work as to me. For ye have the poor always with you, and whenever ye would, ye can do them good. But me ye have not always. What she could, she has done. She has beforehand anointed my body for the burial. And verily I say unto you, wheresoever these glad tidings may be preached in the whole world, what this woman has done shall be also spoken of for a memorial of her." And finally, in the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, page 1487, the book of the Revelation, chapter 1, and the middle of verse 5. Actually, we'll read the whole of verse 5. Verse 5. "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood, made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen." Gospel is God's good news. Good news concerning his Son, Jesus Christ. Gospel is of God and it's about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's not about me and it's not about you. But the blessed news is, it's for me and it's for you. God's heart is full of blessing. The gospel tells us of a Savior who died for us. God sent him in love for you and me, friend. His love has been told out that God is love. He so loved us, he gave his only begotten Son to die for us at Calvary, to set us free. What a God we have. And tonight, the gospel is still being preached. The message is still sent to you and to me. Message that tells us that God is commending his love to us. You know, it's while we're yet sinners, Christ died for us. And tonight I'd like to speak a little of God's thoughts about Jesus. And perhaps you and I might come to an appreciation of Jesus. For you and I need Jesus. Without him, that is, without Jesus, we face a lost eternity. But with Jesus, we can spend an eternity in his presence, in God's presence, enjoy wonderful joy knowing the love of God. And God wants you tonight. That's why the message is for you. It's just for you. It's for everybody, of course, but dear hearer, you hear his voice tonight. It's a voice of love. Scripture tells us the wages of sin is death. But the act of favor of God is a lot different. It's eternal life God wants to give us. It's through Christ Jesus our Lord. It's in Christ Jesus our Lord. So firstly, we'll speak about God's thoughts about Jesus. Dear friend, you need to know Jesus. For without him, we have a lost eternity, and you and I must live as long as God lives. For we have a never-dying soul, and the redemption of our souls, very costly. So we'll speak about Jesus. God sent Jesus. When time had come, when it had run its course, fullness of time, there had been a witness from God to man, but here was one who came so near, and you know who he was? The blessed Son of God. It was Jesus. Came from heaven, came down to this earth to be near you and me, to tell us of God's love. He came. Tonight he is in heaven. He's a glorified man in heaven. And as Peter says, he says, this Jesus, who was crucified on this earth, God has made him both Lord and Christ. That is that Jesus is the Christ. The Jews were looking for the Christ, their Messiah. It was God's anointed man, the man of God's choice. And we read in Mark, where we read firstly, the man of God's choice. He was about 30 when he was baptized, and a voice came out of heaven. We know little of the 30 years, but God knew every detail. And the summing up of these 30 years of the life of Jesus, it says, there came a voice out of the heavens, thou art my beloved Son, in thee I have found my delight. It was after that he had been baptized by John at the Jordan. John was preaching repentance, and there was great crowds that came to John. God was working in their hearts, and Jesus came and knew it. Of course, Jesus didn't need to be baptized, but he did it. He associated himself with those who came, who were fearing God and had shown true repentance. But the voice of heaven was different. This was God's choice, the man of God's choice. And he would go forward in his life. He would make his way. His feet would take him towards Calvary, but it wasn't straight to Calvary. He spent three and a half years around that area in Israel. He came to heal. Even would touch a leper. He would not turn anyone aside, young or old. And the message is to young, the message is to old, it's to rich, to poor. Anyone who felt their need could come to Jesus, because he was so accessible. And he would not turn anyone away. If you came in all your need, even if you came like the woman and touched the hem of his garment, came behind, that woman came in faith. She knew that he could heal, and she touched in faith. And Jesus has not changed. You can touch in faith tonight, the Savior. He's so available. He is in heaven, but he's so available. He's just a prayer away. You can turn to him just where you are. So Jesus was a man of God's choice, and he moved in this world in the will of his God. never deviating one way. It was a suffering way. He felt the sorrows of this world, and we look at this world and what sorrows there are. It's a sad, sad world. And yet, the Saviour who felt it, he came to bring us into a different world. A world that God is going to bring in, where there will be no sorrows. But Jesus had to know the sorrow of sorrows to save you and to me for blessing. So he had to go to Calvary and he had to die. Dear friend, do you know that you need a Saviour? We cannot do without Jesus. He's God's Saviour. He's one who's died at Calvary for you. It's because of our sins. Because of our sin and our sins, it's what has separated us from God. Man has gone away from God. In my sins, I was far, far away. Was without Christ, without God, and had no hope. But when you come to Jesus, there's such a change. So Jesus had to go to Calvary for me. He had to go to Calvary for you. So he showed the love of God out and all the steps that he made going on to Calvary. But he wasn't wanted. And he was crucified at Calvary's cross. When we come to Mark 14, this is before Jesus went to Calvary. And there it speaks of the Passover. The Passover was after 2 days. And there was a woman who came. I suppose everyone here would know about the Passover. God was going to smite the land of Egypt in judgment. And the firstborn were to be killed. But God gave a witness to Israel, and whoever had that witness, if they had taken that lamb and killed the lamb and put the blood on the outside of the houses, on the doorposts and on the lintel, the blood was for God. That when he came past in judgment, God said, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It was God's estimation of the blood. The Passover. Jesus was going to be the true Passover. He was God's Lamb. And he was going to Calvary. And this woman who came, which we read that had the alabaster flask, it doesn't name her. It was a woman who loved Jesus. Why did she love Jesus? Well, she'd come to know him. She'd come to know his wondrous grace, one who stooped so low, and she loved him. She loved him because she knew his love. He had first loved her, and she knew his saving power. So she pours this ointment out upon his head. What she did was she appreciated the Lord Jesus. She appreciated Jesus. He was really her Lord. Those hatred all around, we just read of it, the chief priests and scribes were seeking to kill Jesus. And even those in the house, well, they objected to what the woman did, but she doesn't have to say anything. Her action showed that she loved Jesus. She appreciated Jesus. She had God's estimation of Jesus. He was the Christ. He was God's anointed man. And what Jesus says was that what she could, she has done. She has before anointed my body for the burial. Oh, how she loved Jesus. We tell you tonight, friend, that God loves Jesus. He loves Jesus because of the way he went to Calvary. He went the suffering way, and it was for you and me, but he went to accomplish God's will so that God could be free to come out to you and me and offer this message of blessing. He would give himself a ransom for all. He would go into the depths of Calvary. He had to shed his precious blood. So we started today about, we sung of a sacrifice supreme. There was many sacrifices, but the blood didn't meet God's eye. It didn't have the efficacy for eternal blessing. But at that point, all these sacrifices and much blood shed in the Old Testament did point to the one offering. And Jesus offered one offering. He firstly gave himself to God, who by the eternal Spirit offered himself spotless to God. God accepted. He accepted that offering. He was made sin. The one who knew no sin was made sin. Made sin for us, sinners. That all God's requirements, his nature, his righteousness and his holiness could be upheld, and it was in every detail at Calvary. When he took the sinner's place, when we think of the 3 hours of darkness, it says that Jesus, when he was truly alone, was one who was forsaken. He cried and he wasn't heard. He had to go into the depths and the darkness of Calvary. He did it to glorify God in the very place of sin, and that there might be a blessing for you and me out of it, because tonight we tell you what a God we have, friend. Judgment is God's strange work. Jesus has borne a judgment for us, and he sheathed the judgment sword. Judgment is coming, of course. God will have to come in judgment. He's appointed one who's going to be the judge. And that judge will be the Savior we present. But it's not the day of judgment. It's a day of wonderful grace, because the judgment sword has been sheathed. And God, because of the blood of Jesus, can come out towards you and me in blessing. So Jesus died at Calvary for sinners. You know, it said in the Gospels, he was a friend of tax gatherers and sinners. Isn't that wonderful? Jesus came so near. He also loved you and me when we were enemies. Such is the love of Jesus. He died for us at Calvary and shed his precious blood. The purchase price, the ransom, was very costly. It was his precious blood. But you know, his precious blood can cleanse you from all your sin. Can make you as white as snow. The scripture tells us that. It says, as white as snow. It also says, whiter than snow. Cleared in the presence of God by Jesus. We owe it all to him. He's done it all. And God has set him on high, having shed his blood at Calvary and borne a judgment. God's satisfied. And you say, well, how do you know that God is satisfied? Because the wondrous news in the gospel is that God raised him from among the dead. Death broken. The Savior was raised. But not only that, he ascended up into heaven and has the highest place in heaven. And is coming back to this earth. He's coming back to reign. King of kings and Lord of lords. But tonight the gospel is preached that you might be blessed. And that you might take the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he might reign in your heart now. He is going to reign. God has given all things to Jesus. He's going to reign where he's been rejected. But he wants to reign in your heart tonight. He reigned in the woman that we've read about, and she anointed him in view of the burial. She knew he was going to Calvary to die.
dear friend, he's been to Calvary to die for you. He's now in heaven, and he's still pleading, wonderful Saviour. So we read lastly of John, who was an apostle, who was to write this revelation of Jesus Christ. And he sets out at the beginning the introduction of his letter, and he comes to the point where we read, "And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth." He spoke of the glory of Jesus, and as he wrote it out, he breaks out. He couldn't help himself. It was spontaneous. He breaks out, "To him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood, made us a kingdom, priests to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the might to the ages of ages. Amen." What an appreciation he had of Jesus. He had God's thoughts about Jesus, how great he is. May he become great in your eyes and my eyes. May he become greater. What a Saviour he is. One who loves us. To him who loves us. We can look back at Calvary and we can say, yes, he has loved us. He loved us unto death, died for us. But he still loves us. To him who loves us. And he's coming back. A wonderful message, a hope in the gospel is he's coming back. And God will have a scene filled with those who love Jesus, who have trusted in him and are like him, given bodies of glory like the Lord Jesus. And when we see him, we'll be like him. But better than that, we'll be forever with him in the presence of God, priests to his God and Father. So I'd just like to tell you tonight, friend, that God commends his love to you. God is giving tonight, he's pointing you to Jesus, the one who's in heaven, who was at Calvary and did die for you and has done it all. He left nothing undone. The work of so great a salvation was accomplished by Jesus, that you might be saved and brought back to God. You have nothing to do. Jesus did it all in regard to eternal salvation. But is there something, what is left for us then, if we have nothing to do? There is something left, and the woman had the intimation of it, which she did, and so is John. Ours is just to praise the one who's so worthy. Jesus is so worthy of your heart's affections tonight, friend. The eternal song will be, "Worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb that has been slain. Worthy is Jesus, the Lamb of God. One who died for you at Calvary, one who lives for you, and one who still loves you and pleads for you tonight." May you join in. There's going to be a great chorus. There's going to be a woman who was touched by his love. There's going to be a John. Perhaps there's going to be you tonight who'll be one of the voices in that eternal praise. Jesus is worthy of your heart tonight. May you come into appreciation of such a Saviour. He's a Christ of God. He's God's choice. He's a man that God has chosen. And God is going to have many like him, those who trust him. May you be like that too, for his name's sake.